It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Last year, on April 27th, a spasm of violence, looting, and arson gripped Baltimore. Came to be called variably the riots or the uprising. Reporter Mary Wiltenberg spent the past year interviewing people who were on the ground that day. We begin this morning hearing from those people. Mary Wiltenberg joins me in the studio. Mary, you talked to a whole lot of folks, didn't you?
Tom, I did. It was more than four dozen, over 100 hours of interviews with just a cross-section of Baltimoreans who were involved in some way. There were high school and college kids, police, firefighters, teachers, gang members, drug dealers, public defenders, city officials. Also through a Public Information Act request, I got this tremendous archive of recordings from the main police radio channels that day. And, you know, hearing what police were saying to each other as events unfolded really makes the whole picture even more vivid and emotional.
Yeah, we haven't heard much of that in the past. What did you learn?
Almost everything I thought I knew about that day turned out to be wrong.
Turned out to be wrong. In what way?
You know, everything from who was out on the streets and why to why police responded the way they did. I mean, one good example is the question of who ordered public transportation to shut down as violence erupted near Mondawmin Mall.
Yeah, that was a huge deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, 5,000 school kids transfer there every day on their way home, and many of them wound up caught in the path of violence. A lot of people I talked to said that shutdown must have been planned ahead of time, when in fact, police radio and interviews with city officials make clear it was an in-the-moment request made repeatedly by a bunch of different officers on the ground, and that shutdown took over an hour to implement. So there was no police plot to do that, you know, any more than there was a gang plot to kill police officers.
Right, and police were suggesting that that was certainly the case at the time. Right.
Yeah. Or even there wasn't a plot by kids to purge at the mall either. It was all just much more messy and reactive and scared than that. I'll let them tell it from here.
They put on social media, they put our school in Douglas, yeah, at when Douglas get out, the ride going to start, it's going down, all that other stuff.
This how it all went down.
That's all.
So when the information came out in reference to the purge, Colonel Hyatt, then Lieutenant Colonel Hyatt, pulled me up and said, hey, can you go to Mondawmin instead? So, you know, I said, okay. I didn't think it would be the issue at Mondawmin.
My classroom phone's ringing, and I'm getting, send him home, he's going home for the day, send him home with the stuff, send him home with the stuff, all right, cool. I send them home. Bell rings. Next class comes in. 8 kids. Usually 20. We had been through an administration change and our discipline was very light at that point. We were struggling with a lot within the building. So kids walked out. And had we kept the kids in, could we have physically kept the kids in school? I don't think so. A lot of the kids were leaving because they didn't want to be there. They were afraid. And you can't tell kids you must stay till 4 when you're afraid for whatever may happen in your community because of this.
We saw a helicopter and stuff, but that was before the ride even started. When we start, when we was walking out, you know, when you leave out, you cross the street, boom, the steps, go up the steps, the catwalk right there. It's already about 45 officers right there with shields. We get past the catwalk, the officers start walking behind us. Boom, we see everything get to going down. The people start knocking down the gate. Boom, the gate gone now. I think, you know, all the armored trucks get to coming. Armored trucks coming, the helicopter come at them.
And as the kids started coming across the bridge, the school police officers from Douglas High School were talking to the kids from Douglas. They already have interaction. They already know each other. And then from the other side of the street, some people come up. And these weren't school kids. This was a guy that, you know, looked like he was about 20, 25 years old. And he starts yelling at the school police, leave him alone. Why are you messing with them? You know, y'all gonna do that? Do what you did to Freddie to us? He gets the kids riled up. It was like they wanted that. They wanted to be riled up. They were waiting for something. And all of a sudden, the guy throws his hands up and he's like, hands up, don't shoot. And then the rest of the kids started doing it. It was like a wave. It went through that whole crowd of people from the front all the way to the back of that crowd, maybe 30, 40, 50 kids. Hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. So at that point, I tell the school police, hey, back off. Let's just go stand by the van. You know, if we're not the show, then they'll disperse. But this guy just kept going. And then he stepped back and the kid started taking over. It just became its own thing. And hands up, don't shoot, hands up. And they started coming towards us. So at that point, I turn around, I look at the sergeant that's in the van. I'm like, let's go. So they get out the van. They line up behind me because I don't want them going into the mall. And then all of a sudden, a rock comes flying over. So I dodge, and then a bottle, and then pebbles. So I tell them to go put your helmets on. Go put your helmets on.
Listen, Montgomery Mall, helmets on now. Montgomery Mall, helmets on now.
We're going to need more Montgomery. We're going to need more Montgomery.
Copy, we're getting you some help. Give us a second.
I came out of my school. I was already with it. I'm like, this my time. I'm getting tired of getting harassed just because I'm walking down the street. They want to pull me over. So when I got my opportunity, I took it. First rock I picked up, I threw it. I ain't even gonna lie. The police fell. I hit him with the rock. You feel me? Took his hat, put his hat on. Straight rocked his hat for the rest of the parade. But when I came out of school, I was already with it. It ain't no thought thinking about it. I'm just thinking about all the times they locked up.
They chased me. They don't care about us and all that.
All right, we have incoming debris. Incoming debris on the line.
There's a lot of debris here.
Can you call MTA and tell them to cease the route coming to Montgomery? They're still coming down. I don't know the kids that are joining this crowd.
Actually, got off at the 5. Got off the 5, actually all the way in the corner because the police that stopped everything that day. They said no buses, no nothing could come down here. And then we walked all the way down. We see people running down. They like, don't go down there, it's tear gas. You see smoke. All you see is phew, woo, woo, like 10 police cars just right now. So I was like, I got to go see this.
We got to chill down here. We're getting creamed.
600, I'm about to deploy the units with the pepper ball guns. We're getting destroyed over here with these rocks and stuff. I'm about to deploy them.
Let's start spraying them with the pepper foggers. We have PG County, Montgomery County's on their way. Start spraying them. 10-4.
It was like a war. They humming them back. Yeah. Some officers was humming them back, and they sergeants was like, stop, stop, stop. One rock hit my foot. I'm like, oh, yeah, y'all really want to get it started? So I start getting rocks and start humming them. Get my soda, take a little break, and back to the rock.
We pushed them up the hill. Pushed them up the hill not knowing that a house had just fallen down or was in disrepair, and there were chunks of concrete and all kinds of stuff that we ended up pushing them into ammunition, trying to disperse them. So as we're pushing up the street, they're throwing. The guys are like, you know, I'm going to go get them. I said, no, just stay right here until we can get something. And I guess if you listen to the radio transmissions, you hear me yelling for whatever I can get. Pepper foggers, and I think I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, but it felt like I was in a war. So as we pushed up the street, a cinder block comes over the line, bounces off the ground, and hits Captain Conaway in his groin. He doubles over. I'm like, wow, I don't have a helmet on. Then I see an officer go down to my left.
600, that's gas. That's gas that's been deployed by us. I need a medic. Down on the lot. I need a medic. On the lot. On the bottom of the MTA lot. I'm back evacuating all my injured officers over here.
I was just like humming them like, this one gonna be the one. I'm just seeing how far I can throw it. I'm just like, they had shields, so I'm trying to put it on a dome. So I'm just floating them like this. And sometimes, like if they're far, I'm beaming at them. Like, I get a big brick, I set my own fort so nobody won't touch them. I get a big brick, break it, boom. I had like 4, you feel me? Don't nobody touch them. I'm dealing with all 4 of these. Pick out one, and hurry up. Because when I throw one, they already backing it forward. So I hurry up and pick up another one. Smack. He's giving it to him.
Big brick. Boom. They try to run over my man. I'm like, oh yeah. One of the big armor blue trucks. I straight hum that joint. Boom. Hit that joint. Boom.
They was spraying mace out the armor trucks. I ain't never seen them trucks a day in my life. They straight spraying mace out of them.
Officers, go down. Can we have some mace? It's a big ass.
All right, sir, be advised, I got medics coming your way.
Give it the air. And at that point, I was so upset. that I was like, I was about to say, and I felt like, you know, like Custer, I was about to say charge, and we were about to, and I was about to tell him to run and just go at these kids. But then I think to myself, those are my son. My son is 17. That's what, and my 11-year-old, because there were kids there that were that age. So how do you rush these kids with these sticks? What do you do when you get up on them? We're not going to hit them because they're kids. So I knew that I couldn't do that. So at that point, I'm like, all right, let's step it back. Let's hold the mall. Just hold the mall.
Single 13. Single 13. Watch out. Hit the bank. Hit the bank.
West Bryan Woodbrook. Single 13. West Bryan Woodbrook.
Let's go. They're coming to the mall. Back out to Liberty. Back out to Racist Town.
One officer came back down the hill with just the arm, the grip of the shield. The whole shield was gone. And he was in such shock that he didn't drop it. He still had it on his arm. And he's like looking at me, and I'm looking at him like, throw it down. You just throw it down. And he's looking at me like, I said, just drop it. And he drops it.
It did release some of my anger, though. That's all it was. The whole Baltimore was just furious. A lot of people didn't even know Freddie Gray, but all that stuff that was going on in all the other cities, if it happened in Baltimore, and Baltimore wasn't going for
Voices from the Uprising. We heard two students from Frederick Douglass High School who identified themselves as Hot Rod and Luke, plus Major Mark Partee of the Baltimore Police Department, Douglass High School civics teacher Jesse Schneiderman, and college student Mo Jackson. They spoke with reporter Mary Wiltenberg. We'll take a break now for the news. When we come back, we'll hear from some of the people who were at the corner of Penn and North on that chaotic day last April. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Now, a few more voices from the uprising. Earlier in the show, we heard from some people who were at Mondawmin Mall when the violence broke out last April. Reporter Mary Wiltenberg also spoke to a number of people who were at or near the corner of Penn and North on April 27th, 2015. A word of caution, some listeners may find some of the language offensive.
All right, Unit 2, we're going to start pushing this intersection at North and Pesci. We got the CVS is on fire, okay? We're going to need fire apparatus up here as well.
I spent 8 years in the military. It was like a war zone. I mean, literally, you know, driving down North Avenue after we're watching on TV, seeing the riots at Mondawmin and throwing everything, and then we see the CVS catch on fire. Next you know, boom, we're responding to that call. And next you know, I'm driving the engine and they're throwing a 2x4 at us. You know, I mean, usually we're always ones that the people in the city love us because we're taking care of their mothers and their grandmothers, but that day, we were nobody's friend.
4901, please be aware they're cutting the hose. They're cutting the hose to the hydrant right at North Avenue and Hensley.
You know, I know we were in the rear of CVS and I was, you know, getting water to the guys and to the engine, and there was a formation of police, and they said, what's wrong with your hydrant? And I'm like, I don't know. I went and looked, and there was water flying everywhere, and there was a guy that was, I guess, apparently I didn't see him, but he was poking holes in our hose. Granted, it's 5-inch hose. You get plenty of water. I mean, there was no, you know, it wasn't, but it ruined it, you know.
The first poke, I got wet on the first poke. And then everybody was kind of scattering, trying to get away from the water. And so because it was behind us, then it just became this thing. It was just there. We didn't even pay much attention to it because the real danger wasn't the water hose. The real danger was the police standing in front of us. On some level, it seemed like such an innocuous thing. You know, it seemed like a small thing in terms of a protest of the death of a man.
Sometimes in order to get attention, you have to do something drastic. A civil disobedience is to sort of break a law in order so people can pay attention that this law sucks. You know, so in a weird subconscious way, that's what happened here on Penn and North. subconsciously. I don't know if people done, some people probably just was out here for because it was something going on. But subconsciously, it was like, let's make this happen so people can pay attention to some of the real issues that we need to focus on in the city.
What do you think you learned about yourself from all that?
I learned that I could be a very important aspect of my community. I got a voice that people, when I talk, people listen. That's what I learned about myself that day.
How did that teach you that?
But when I was telling people, stop, don't do that. Come on, let's act this way, let's do this. People was listening to me. When we was marching out here, they was listening to me. People was telling me, man, you ever thought about speaking to the public? I was like, nah. That's what I learned about myself that day.
No way. Like, what kind of stuff were you saying that they were kind of calling you out like that?
I was giving them directions. I was leading the songs and stuff, like not being scared and all that.
What were you singing?
I'm not a good singer. I was singing, I'm carrying my burdens down by the riverside. Or like God, Negro spirituals. Yeah, gospels, I mean.
And people were joining in?
Yeah, they was joining in. We marched around the whole block. And then my girlfriend was like, no, stop. And then the people was like, come on, brother. Let's sing, brother. And we marched all the way around. We came back and stopped at the church. It was like a whole street full, all the way down. Everybody was singing.
Had you ever had a moment like that in your life before?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was the first time.
Everybody started to leave, and it was getting a little late, and everybody, not to say, I don't want to say got bored, but I guess they felt that their point was made. So everybody had kind of stopped chanting and protesting and just began talking to each other. So we set up and we talked to everybody for hours, and as you walk by people, or people come into your little group that was talking and give their opinions and I guess, you know, their insight on the day, and they would say stuff like, man, this was, if you put gasoline on the grill, it's gonna burn up more, or this was the chickens coming home to roost. Baltimore, this was needed. Of course, there were people who opposed that, just saying we should have been more peaceful. Nobody's going to give us any respect now because we tear up stuff. So how can we be civilized and want people to treat us in a civil manner when we're acting violent? So we had a lot of those conversations going on at the time.
People are saying that at this intersection as the CVS is still smoking?
Yes. Well, everything is done. The cop cars are still burning. The little boy still walking with the steering wheel, still walking around. People still drinking and passing out cigarettes and selling cigarettes. And
I don't know what we got out of breaking in these people's buildings and stuff. Like, I really don't know. But it's like, I know the government really hurt because they can't do nothing about it. Like, they just standing there. They can't do nothing about it. Eventually, some of this is going to have to come out their pocket. Like, I mean, it's going to hurt them some type of way. It's going to hurt the mayor who can't stop this shit. The council, city council, whoever pulled it. You know what I mean? It's going to reflect on them. Like, why y'all ain't got this under control? Because they can't control it right now. You feel me? Like, right now, we're in control. Like, you feel me? That's how it was basically thinking. We in control. Like, we took advantage. We in control today.
Some voices from the uprising. We heard firefighter Eric Capella, activists J.C. Falk and Saba Nazir. We also heard from a pharmacology student, Mo Jackson, and a man who deals drugs who gave his name as Peter. That is not his real name. Over the course of the last year, reporter Mary Wiltenberg talked to more than 50 people who were at or near Mondawmin Mall and at the corner of Penn and North on April 27, 2015, the day that violence broke out following the funeral of Freddie Gray. This fall, Mary will team up with WIPR's Mary Rose Madden for an hour-long special about the uprising on the public radio show Reveal. We'll let you know when that will air. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.